I could give the message in 5 minutes. It's a message for Christians. And I don't apologize for that. I'm not going to give it in 5 minutes, but I could. And I think I could give it in 5 minutes. And when the 5 minutes was over, I think you would have a great deal of the essence of the message, but maybe not the application that we would need to take a little bit more time in. Because I've marveled in the Scriptures how many times Jesus gave a message. Sometimes it would last just a few minutes. And He would say it in such a way that when you were done, wow, you could go away and walk 2 miles from having heard it and be thinking about that message for the whole 2 miles. One of my favorite ones is the one where, and I've mentioned it so many times because it makes an impression on me. I'm a simple person in a lot of ways. I like the get to the nubbin of the thing right now. I may be too impatient that way, but Jesus said two men went into the temple. You remember that? That covers grace. It covers mercy. It covers repentance. It covers redemption. It covers eternity. It covers warning. It covers promise. It's just amazing. And He's finished. Just like that. And when He's talking to the rich young ruler, there's a short conversation, and then He makes a statement. And when you hear that statement, if you were there walking with Him, and then you said, "Goodbye, Lord," and you were going in another direction, you could walk for 2 miles, and it takes about 20 minutes to walk 2 miles briskly. Is that right? That's about right. No, half an hour probably. Half an hour. It takes about a half an hour. So a half an hour, the whole half hour you could be taken up with what Jesus said when He was talking to the rich young ruler. So if you were with Jesus, I would recommend you start listening early and you listen really hard while you're listening. Because if you don't, you're going to miss something really vital. Well, my sermon will last more than 5 minutes. I want to read Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But He, that is Jesus, answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The Scriptures teach very plainly, using these expressions, "It was written," "It was spoken," "The Scriptures saith," or as Jesus said, "Have you not read," implying the Scriptures. Because this is the Word of God. The Scriptures are the Word of God. They were presented to us in the Word of God in several ways. One in the book of Exodus, it says that God wrote the Ten Commandments with His finger on a stone. And I envision a gravestone with the deep engravings of words, so it's written on the stone. And Peter, over in 2 Peter chapter 1, I'll just read this to you. He said, "Look, we're not following cunningly devised fables. The things that guide us as Christian people are not things we dream up in our mind or somebody else dreamed up in their mind and they tell us." He makes the point that the Scriptures are the Word of God. And he says, "Prophecy came not in old time," I'm reading in verse 21 of chapter 1, "by the will of man." We should just take a minute and think about that, because this comes into play in what Jesus said to the devil when the devil tempted Him. The things that we follow, the things that we can anchor our soul, the things that guide us in our life, are the things that God has told us, has written to us, maybe with His finger in the stone, or in this case, not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Men were used by God to use a quill and ink to write on parchment what is now a printed Word of God for us, and it being the Word of God, It is the guide for our life. It is the answer to all of the puzzling questions of life. It really gives us the things we need for a light for our path, or a lamp to our feet, a light for our feet, and a lamp for the path as we go through life. These things are the Word of God. Well, you say, that's not, your 5 minutes is almost up. Here's the contrast. Christian people, and especially lost people today, we are so barraged and so enamored with and so ready to grab hold of what the people of the world say, and what the publications say, and what books say, and what programs say, and what blogs say, and what the internet says. We now know. Or philosophy professor says this, or somebody else says that. And we're so inclined to somehow mix our approach to life with the Word of God as Christians, and then all these other things that we hear. And one of the most damaging things that happens, that just cannot happen for a Christian who wants to have his head on straight and wants to walk the path of the Lord, is to think that somehow we need to make a judgment about what God says. We need to judge God's revelation. We need to wonder about if this is really what we ought to do. And so what we hear today amongst in the Christian world is, not only do they say scholars are divided, but they also say, well, what do you think Paul meant? Or what do you think Isaiah meant? Or, well, yeah, you say it says that. Or they say, well, you know, the Reformed people say this about that. Or the Baptist position is this about that. And there's just a lot of gray and smoky things out there. And the expression that Jesus used, "it is written," it comes to my mind that if God wrote on a stone with his fingers, or in other cases, in fact, the Apostle Peter says, we heard, he says, we haven't followed cunningly devised fables. He said, we were with him on the mount. That's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. We heard the voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Well, we've got it written in stone. We've got the very sound of God's voice. And I swear, if anybody ever hears the voice of God, and none of us have, they never forget it. And that's basically what Peter was saying. When God spoke from heaven, I mean, we were all ears. And then, the very words that we read in the Scriptures are words that God inspired, as holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit and wrote these words. And I think of idioms. I think of idioms because Paul goes on, or Peter goes on here to say in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. Look, if this is written in stone, heard by the voice of God, I mean, heard from the voice of God, and we're looking at words that were inspired by God, he says, we have a very sure word of prophecy. We should take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn. Think of these idioms. I think I'm seeing the light of day. You ever hear that? Think of this idiom. It's written in stone. I looked at a blog on what does it mean it's written in stone, and where do you suppose it came from? You can be sure it came from that idea with God writing the Ten Commandments in stone. What does it mean when you hear somebody say it's written in stone? You don't have to answer me, just think about it. What does it mean to you when it says, well, it's written in stone? We most often hear it the other way. Well, this isn't written in stone. A husband and wife get married. And on the honeymoon, they're eating food they can order off a menu. And now they're back in their little cottage where they're getting started, or the little apartment where they're getting started. And the husband says to the wife, which I wouldn't recommend, But a lot of times we men, in 24, 22, 21, 30 years old, we're not the brightest bulb in the candelabra. And he says, look, honey, frankly, I want to tell you what I don't like. I don't like onions. I don't like green peppers. I don't like sour cream. I don't like black pepper. And I don't like anything you can smell too strong or anything that's too hot. Now, it's not written in stone. What does he mean when he says it's not written in stone? She can live with a little hope that maybe she can bring him around to eating onions and green peppers and things that are hot and so on and so forth and sour cream. Okay. So if it's written in stone, what does it mean? It can't be changed, right? It can't be changed. I have a picture that I've mentioned before, but it's one of my precious pictures of Lindsay, my granddaughter, standing by her great-great-great-great-grandfather's grave, who died in 1868. And his gravestone, I'm serious, it was put there in sometime in 1868. It's just as, the grooves are just as deep, the words are just as clear, it's just as obvious who it is and when it was, when it happened and where the grave is and so on and so forth. It's written in stone. Well, the Scriptures, when Jesus says, I love this expression, it is written, there's a period after that, so to speak. There's a comma with a pause, because when you say it is written, when you say it is written, I mean talking about as you're parsing this sentence, it is written, this is the last word on it. I love the fact that in John chapter 1 it says of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Word. And you know, that's another idiom we use. Well, you know, the Sears catalog in 1890 was the Word on merchandise available in America. It was the Word. If you got the Sears catalog, you had just about everything manufactured. That was it. It was the Word. This is the Word about life. This is the Word about God. This is the Word about yourself. This is the Word about eternity. This is the Word about the basis for hope. This is the Word. So when Jesus says, it is written here in Matthew chapter 4, it wipes out, scholars are divided. It wipes out, we now know. It wipes out all the things that humankind thinks they know. People say, well, you say it's written in the Bible. Or they say, well, why is the Bible coming into this? Because it is the Word. Jesus says, Lord, clean these folks up. He says, sanctify them with thy truth. They need to be cleaned up. We need to be cleaned up. It's a great prayer for us. We need to be cleaned up. Our conversation needs to be cleaned up. Our works need to be cleaned up. Our relationships need to be cleaned up. Our yard probably needs to be cleaned up. Just to be, because God made us, He gave us dominion over the earth. So a Christian's place ought to look something. We're the image bearers of God. So all these things, there's a lot of things that need to be cleaned up. Jesus says, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. You can't be cleaned up. You can't make the changes that need to be changed. You can't know the will of God. You can't know how you ought to act. You can't deal with your own conversation unless you know what the Word of God says. It's amazing, this expression, it is written. Let's just look at it for a minute in Matthew chapter 4. And remember this, the devil, starting in the Garden of Eden, tried to get Eve and Adam, and was successful in getting Eve and Adam to make a judgment on what God had said, in the sense of rethinking what God said. When God speaks, we don't have to approve to make it valid. God does not make a poll on who believes that this is the Word of God. When He inspired His Word, when His Word was finished, when He preserved His Word, when He's in providence made it possible for us to have the Word of God, He didn't say, well, no, I wonder what they think of this, because that is not a valid question. We take what God has said as God's Word, and we don't sit in judgment on the source of that information, on the source of that account. But that's what the devil's trying to do. Do you really want to do what God said? Do you really think that's a good idea? You think it's a good idea when somebody gets in your face and punches you in the chest with his chest? Do you think it's a good idea to have a soft answer? God said it was. Well, I don't believe that. I wasn't raised that way. My dad said I didn't raise no wimp. You aren't supposed to be judging what the validity, the wisdom of what God Almighty has said. So the devil went to Eve and said, surely God didn't say you couldn't eat it. Surely He lets you eat everything. Later on, the scribes and the Pharisees come to Jesus and they say, can you be divorced for any reason? This was in Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 3. Can you be divorced for any reason? I think in the New King James, it says, for just any cause. I don't like her hairdos. I'm going to divorce her. They're basically saying, can you just get rid of your wife? And he says, have you not read? And then he goes back and he says something amazing. He says, in the beginning, God made man, male and female. And by the time he gets through with that answer, which takes a lot less than 5 minutes to the scribes and the Pharisees, God has authoritatively answered a whole bunch of questions that the world still says, well, who knows? Well, does it matter what the Bible says? Well, scholars disagree with you. Or, well, I don't know, there's a lot of division about that. Or the Bible wasn't written historically. Or the Bible wasn't written scientifically. Hogwash. The Bible is scientific. The Bible is historic. The Bible is accurate. The Bible has the authority of God. And so then Jesus goes on and tells them the answer to their question by saying, have you not read? Well, we're looking here at this section and we're saying, wow, the Lord deals with us from what He says in the Scriptures. And the devil tried to upset Eve, knowing that if he upset Eve and could get Eve and Adam off the track, that would go a long ways towards the devil's fight against God. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 4 and see it's the same kind of a thing. In Matthew chapter 4, he says, you're very hungry. Well, all of us know that. Has anybody in here gone more than 10 days without eating something? I haven't. I might have gone more than 2 days without eating anything wholesome. Might have eaten limbs off a tree or something for a while. Something like that. But it would just have been 2 days. And I mean, you're one each hungry after 2 days. You're one each hungry. He was 40 days without any food. Now, what do you suppose the devil was trying to do when he was trying to get Jesus to take the stones and turn it into bread? You know, he's a clever guy. What is one of the things that is key to the gospel? It says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3 that the Lord was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. What's the likeness of sinful flesh? We get hungry. We have other bodily needs and desires and wants and all these things that are almost universal to humanity. Probably the devil knew one of the things that Jesus is going to do is as a man, with those needs, with those wants, and with many of those temptations that come to humankind, one thing Jesus was surely, absolutely going to do, He was going to feel pain like we would feel pain when He took our penalty on the cross, so He could truly be our kinsman redeemer. He could truly be the one who took our place. Well, if He could turn a rock into bread to relieve His human hunger, then the message would go out, well, don't worry about Jesus. He's going to the cross. He'll make Himself painless. He said, I could call legions of angels and come off the cross. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to use my divine power to make me unhuman. If the devil had done that, he would have won the battle. Jesus, people would have said, don't worry about Jesus. As it was, they were troubled. They were worried. They knew about His suffering. The women wept. Jesus gave all the indications, genuine indications, sincere indications, that he was feeling the rejection and the penalty that a sinner ought to feel. And the devil was going to stop it right here before he even started his earthly ministry. So Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the answer that he gave to the devil was just a simple answer, I'm here to do the Lord's will. I know what the Scriptures say, Old and New Testament. I know what the Scriptures say, and I'm going to go ahead and do this because that is your will. That is the Word of God. It's in harmony with what God has said. It's in harmony with things that are written. And while we're on that subject, this was the beginning of the New Testament. Look in verse 5 of chapter 2. Look in verse 15 of chapter 2. Look over at Matthew. Look, just keep going on there and you find out, wow, all these passages say it is written. It is written that Jesus will be born of a virgin. It is written that He'll be born in Nazareth. It is written. Is it not spoken? It's about three terms. It is written, it is spoken, or the Scriptures say that He'll grow up in Nazareth. These things are all written so that the Old Testament and the New Testament are stitched together in such a way that they all form the Word of God. And Jesus is calling on people that know the Old Testament to say, it is written. And this word, it is written, it ought to settle a lot of things in our own lives. Think about temptation. Just for a minute. Jesus was tempted. How did He deal with temptation? He took the revealed Word of God as a man, as the last Word, as the Word written in stone, as light that comes into darkness. He took that Word as a basis for Him, rejecting the pull of temptation and standing on the side of God. I suggest to you that in the things that you have yielded to in temptation and the things I have yielded to in temptation, even since I've been a Christian, somewhere consciously or unconsciously in my heart, in your heart, when you yielded to temptation, you sat in judgment of the commandments of the Lord. You sat in judgment of the source. There's no question what God has said in the Ten Commandments, right? If it involved something like fornication, it involved something about lying, if it involved something about the mistreatment of your fellow man, if it involved something to do with an unchristian longing for something you knew was wrong, if you slipped up even under circumstances that were sort of bang-bang circumstances, there had to be a rationale in your mind that sat in judgment on the source of what you ought to do. Isn't that right? Say you had something in your life and you got saved and you went back into that pool of disobedience again. We're dealing with a problem that finds its source in what Jesus said, it is written. It is written. We tend to say things like this. Well, it just kind of blindsided me. Well, I want to just read a few passages of that this goes back about the time I was saved, some passages that I wrote in the Bible. But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. What does that basically mean? It means you take God's word to be written in stone, right? It means you take God's word to be light in a dark place, right? I mean, this was before I was saved, but I remember a guy I was working with. We were selling beer on an army post. We were 18, I was 17, he was 18. He said, Bill, you ever notice these guys, when they get drunk, they think they're big shots, and they don't even look at what kind of a bill they're giving you. So if they give you a 20, give them change for a 1, and I'll guarantee you they won't know you gave them the wrong change. Best God being my witness, I don't believe I did that, but I remember him saying he was getting away with it. Well, that's very easy to get away with. You know how guys were when they get a little few beers in them, And they think they got their uniform on, and they think they're a combination of, you know, Atlas and Greek God and all that kind of stuff. And if somebody goes and says, give me two of them. And you give you 10, you give them back 18 cents or whatever tip was, and you put $9 in your pocket. Well, all those dark things and all those temptations and all those things, the Bible speaks, written in stone, light in the darkness. It is written. They tell you what to do. Now, you say, I look back over my life, even my Christian life. A person says that. Oh, that was a dark chapter there. Oh, I wish I hadn't said that. Oh, I wish I hadn't done that. Oh, that was a temptation. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I'm still paying for it. So on and so forth. Somewheres, you had to sit in judgment on the source of the advice, and somehow you had to minimize the source of that advice. And in judging the source of that advice, which is God Himself, you rationalized that, well, I was very hungry. Jesus didn't have to say, well, I did change the bread into the stone into bread. He didn't have to say that. He was very hungry. He went back and considered, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Look to see what the will of God is. And in the word of God, we have things that deal with our personality. It deals with our conversation. It deals with our financial matters. It deals with what we do with our time. It deals with how we use our house, how we use our gifts, how we use our energies. It deals with all of that. And so, no wonder the Bible says, it is written. No wonder it says, it is spoken. No wonder the Bible says, and Jesus says, did you not hear the Scriptures? Did you not hear the Scriptures? Do you not know what the Scripture says? It is written. And He goes on with this great emphasis. So we put these two idioms together. There's really three of them, but two of them are, says, it's like seeing the light of day, and it is written in stone. It's kind of a simple message. If I would have ended it in 5 minutes, I would have said this. These are the words that are used interchangeably. It is written. It is spoken. Have you not heard? Have you not read? These things all are in the category of what God wants and what His Word says, and there is no speaking back about it. There's no rationalization about it. It is clear. It is written straightforward, and it is understandable, and you should hear that. And any other position towards the Word of God and towards the things that He's commanded and towards His expressions to you, even about yourself, which is very vital. Any other expression than what God has said about you, and any time you say, well, I don't think I'm that way. Well, it says all people are that way, and I'm a people. Well, you say, well, I don't agree with that thing about marriage. Wait a minute. In the beginning, He made them male and female. Well, I'm a intellectual Christian, and I don't think it was a scientific book, and I think that over time, yes, man evolved from animals, and then through his being evolved, then over time, he evolved into the marriage thing, and I'm not so sure the marriage thing is such a good deal. A lot of people are saying that today. I saw a chart recently on people that are planning to stay single. That is their plan. Millennials. They're planning to stay single. They aren't buying into the idea of marriage. Now, it doesn't mean if you're single, you've broken God's law. But if a society starts to think that way, the very center, the very strength of civilization is the family. Divide the family up into civilization. Well, my 5-minute sermon would have been 8 minutes by now, but I would just say this. If you don't listen to the expression, it is written, take it to heart and quit thinking to yourself, well, I'm sure there's somebody else that has something to say about it. You're justifying, you're sitting in judgment on the source, and that really is the sense of the message. Take the Word of God. Take the things that God has inspired. Take the Old and the New Testament. Take the Ten Commandments. Take what He said about yourself. Take what He said about redemption. Take what He said about the way you should live. And chalk it up to a done deal. In a way, it's a simplicity to it. You don't have to agonize over it. Somebody says, look, those guys are so drunk, they don't know if they're giving you a 10 or a 20. You say, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. And you give them back their change. And some of your customers treat you rough. Every one of us has been in business, we've had that happen. The Bible says, do good to all men. To the evil do good. He coals a fire on their head for doing good. Whereas they're evil, you're going to do good. We carry the image of God. The Bible says we were made in His image. We carry the image of God. Take that kind of an approach. I think I've said all I need to say. And we'll dismiss.